I'm Renee Evans, co-senior leader of Bethel Austin. Make sure that you like and subscribe to our weekly sermons so that you don't miss what is happening here at Bethel Austin. We pray that this message inspires and encourages you. And most of all, we pray that you would have an encounter with the living God today.
Yay, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! It's been a good morning already. Come on. I don't know how many people have gotten baptized. Well, I'll get a count at some point, but I know we had 7 registered, and we just had well over a dozen people get baptized. So come on, Jesus. You could be more thankful than that. Just saying. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, there it is. Wow, how many people know good things are happening? That we serve a good father. And our good father is on the move. And in fact, I believe that God is always doing more than we could ask, think, or imagine. And I believe that God is doing more than we sometimes allow ourselves to even apprehend or tune into. God is doing more, and it's our job to line up with him, not the other way around. How many people believe that there is more available in God? In Jesus, there's more available. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We got a lot of good stuff happening. I'm going to just read this because it's good. This is from our outreach team yesterday, and this is just a report that came in. I'm going to read it. Is that okay with you? And Amy Duggins led a team to Colton, Texas. Today's outreach was amazing. It all started with a dream that one of our, the mother of one of our leaders, Kess's mom, had a dream. She's in Pennsylvania, doesn't know the geography around here, but she had a dream for us. And we were fishing as a church and not catching many fish. And then a park ranger came in the dream and said, here's where you're going to catch lots of fish, in Colton, Texas. This is the dream that she had. She doesn't live in Texas, nor is she familiar with the land here, so she shares the dream, and it turns out Colton, Texas is 5 minutes from our church. We decided as an outreach team to begin going to that area, and today was the first day. That's just a good idea right there. That's being responsive to the Holy Spirit. We felt led to go to a flea market there, and we found so many of the words of knowledge that Holy Spirit had given us beforehand. A ton of people got healed, great seeds of truth were planted, and 2 people gave their lives to Jesus. It goes on a little bit further. My favorite testimony was right as we were about to leave. We were literally in our cars and noticed a group walking up, and one person was limping, so we got out and began to chat. A lady named Amy needed healing in her knee, so we prayed, and Jesus healed it on the spot. We then began to talk to her about the Lord, and she was ready to surrender her life to him. Right before we prayed, she shared that her mom, Gloria, needed a miracle. She was in a hospital with heart issues. Both the names, Amy and Gloria, were on their treasure list. She was so happy to know how much God cared for her, and that he sent us there to encounter her and gave us the word about her mom. And she gave her life to Jesus, and they prayed for her mom. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. But wait, there's more. joking, but not joking. Honestly, we struggle as a team, and I mean this as a good problem. We struggle as a team to bring forth all of the testimonies and the good news that are happening on a regular basis. We have about 40 minutes of testimonies, sometimes a lot more, every single week that gets shared as a staff. And that's over a couple different meetings through the week, but every week, and like literally we would never preach the word if we just got up and shared all the testimonies verbatim every single week. It's like, it's so much, but we do have on the website, we have a testimony section on our website, on the app as well. So you can go there every week and see the updated testimonies, what God is doing. But last Saturday night, we had a great miracle happen, and we actually have a little video of that. So if the team, if you got the video ready to...
It's 1 minute, and I basically got surgery for a labral tear in my hip. They told me that I wasn't going to be able to walk for 6 weeks after the surgery, and that I was slowly, after 6 weeks, that I would slowly have to get back into walking. And tonight, I had a whole group of people praying for me for healing. It was so intense, and I felt my whole body like shaking and tingling, and I had that ferocious confidence to just start walking. Like, I knew I could really do it. And slowly I started walking, and then step by step I started running, and I was running around the gym.
Come on, Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We exalt your name, God. How many people would like to see Jesus do it more? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sharing this morning on turning our affections to the Lord, because it really is a key to increase in the kingdom. And on that testimony, it's not captured in the video because we didn't find out till later, but that young lady who just got her hip healed, new to our environment, she got a word for someone else in the service. Later on, at the end of the night, she got a word for someone else, prayed for them, and their hip got healed. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Actually, I just thought of this one right now. Someone on our team got healing in their wrist, and in our staff meeting, they felt prompted by the Holy Spirit, not just to share the testimony, but to rap the testimony. So they got up and started rapping about what God did for their wrists. We have a Zoom link for people who can't be there on the team, who can't be there. Someone was listening to the recording of the meeting later, and their wrist got healed listening to the person rap about, come on, being obedient, to the Holy Spirit. But listen, I say this in all earnestness. There is something fresh that's happening. There's something fresh that's happening. There's something deep that's happening. This week in our staff meeting, God crashed in on our staff meeting. And it was, I got goosebumps all over just thinking about it. God crashed in, and the love of the Father came, but it wasn't just laughter and shaking. It was deep repentance. Like, we had this genuine time of people just weeping. Our team, no one else is around. It's not for show. Like, God was doing something deep in us, and we're having times of repentance and tissue boxes are being passed around, and it was deep, and it was genuine, and it was real, and it was Jesus. Because how many people know that there's always more? And listen, there wasn't big hidden things. I mean, that God always wants to take us from glory to glory. But it was like God was moving on people in that moment, on our team, and people are realizing, my attention, God, hasn't fully been on you. And I'm sorry, God. I repent, and I believe what I heard God saying in that moment is he's clearing out the pipes. Because when he clears out the pipes, what happens? More can flow. And so we want the increase of heaven. Can I get an amen to that? So on that vein, turning our affection to the Father, off of that, as that miracle with that young lady you just saw, it was happening right over here last Saturday night. And while that was happening, there was a group there that was praying for her. One of our executive pastors, Shane Harris, he was up here, and he was praying for a gentleman right at the front of the church. And as she was, the breakthrough was starting to happen. They didn't yet know what was going on. The testimony wasn't shared. There was just prayer happening over here. But in the spirit, the breakthrough started to happen, and they sensed that breakthrough as a gentle breeze. But something unique happened. The man that Shane was praying for, as he felt this gentle breeze, instead of ignoring it, he turned into the breeze. And when he did that, it turned from a gentle breeze into a gust of Holy Spirit wind and knocked him over. And God did amazing things in him under the presence of God. But there is such a principle in this thing that I want to grab a hold of. Because God is always moving, but we don't always turn our attention into what he's doing. And I would say even further than that is that sometimes we give God our attention, but we don't give him our affection. Something powerful happens when we don't just turn our gaze, our observation to what the Lord is doing, but when we turn our affection to what the Lord is doing, all of heaven can break open. Come on, thank you, Jesus. God is always doing more than we are aware of, or more than we know. Affection is the entry point of intimacy. And intimacy is the incubator where kingdom life and breakthroughs happen. Our affection is the entry point of intimacy. How many people know that intimacy is where all of the goodness, all of the things that we are desiring, all of the intimacy, all the breakthrough happens in that place of intimacy? That we're going to talk today about learning to appreciate and refine the affections of our heart as we turn them to the Lord. You have heard it said often that what we focus on in the kingdom grows. If you've been here more than 2 months, you've probably heard that statement. And what we give thanks for in the kingdom increases. I'll say that again. What we focus on in the kingdom grows, and what we give thanks for in the kingdom increases. And how many people believe that those are true? Or even you've experienced the truth of that in your own life? That what we focus on grows, and what we give thanks for increases, and those are true, but I want to break those down even a little bit further. And that the truth is, it's in that a mistake we can make is giving our focus, is that we give our attention, but it doesn't have our affection connected to it. Do you know two people can be in the same room and God starts to move, and one person has a life-changing encounter and the other person has none? But how many people know that it's God's intention for everyone to be drawn into the fullness? That God doesn't come going eeny, meeny, miny, mo. That God comes and he makes himself available. Someone just say available. That God makes himself available, and some people tap into what God's making available because they turn not just their attention, but they turn with their affection to what the Lord is doing in that moment. In fact, our affection is what qualifies our attention. I say it all the time that worship isn't an observation. It's an engagement. It's an interaction. It's a love affair. Right? But we have the option in our free will. We can come and we can observe worship happening. We can sit there and we can watch the worship team and we watch people worship and we could be in the room while worship is happening, but that doesn't mean worship is happening in us. Two very different things. Listen, we give our attention to something. God starts to do miracles. God starts to baptize people spontaneously and everyone in the room sees it. But it's not just the ability to see it, it's the ability to be moved by what you're seeing. Thank you, Jesus. Affection, our affection is what moves us from just an observer to a participant. And God's calling us, God is calling us in. He's calling us deeper. He's calling us to come up to Him, to engage and interact and participate with Him. Our affection is a huge, huge key. This is often one of the biggest keys that's missing in pursuing breakthrough. And I'm sharing this message today because I believe for some people in the room that we can grab a hold of this one simple thing and it's going to shift major things. Major things, more breakthrough. Listen, for you individually, for you as a family, as a household, but us as a household. Because this is something else I say often, God gets excited about those who get excited about Him. It's really true because He doesn't put His pearls before swine. What does that mean? He wants to put His best before those who will truly value it. Oh. Who will value it like with intimacy, like lovers, like children in awe and wonder. And so the reality is that God will begin to move, but our responding to His moving will determine how much He moves. That was a good word right there. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, when people get moved by the Holy Spirit and they are drawn to come and get baptized spontaneously in that moment, what happens inside of our heart? Because if we want to see more next time, if that moment cuts us deep, oh, thank you, Father. This is the most beautiful moment. God will reward that with increase. And if that's true for our corporate house, how much more true is that for your household? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. It's possible to focus on something without engaging affection. And it's possible to be thankful for something in a general way without engaging deep affection for it. Listen, Jesus did not give His life for us in a general way. Blown away by your response there. Jesus didn't give His life in a generic way. That Jesus, listen, when we really get it, He knew us in our mother's womb before He formed us. He knew us before we took our first breath. He died for us with us in mind, looking at us, even though that in the timeline, the natural timeline of history, we weren't born yet, but Jesus knew we were coming. He's seen us and He died for us individually. Is this true? He didn't die for us in a general sense. Our appreciation and our thanksgiving shouldn't be in a general sense. Come on, Jesus, give us an upgrade in our affections. I'm going to keep going, but let's just have an upgrade right now. Come on, just put your hands out in front of you and just say, Jesus, give me an upgrade in my affections for You, for Your presence, for Your moving, for Your goodness. I just should warn you that an upgrade in affection creates an upgrade in awareness. And an upgrade in awareness means good things are going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. We just invite the spirit of breakthrough, Father, even as we turn our affection to you right now, the spirit of breakthrough in the room, the spirit of breakthrough over the stream, the spirit of breakthrough, Father, over deafness. Father, we declare authority over deafness and hearing loss and tinnitus, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We declare breakthrough over migraines and over head trauma. I see a truck in particular, like a kind of an older truck. Someone, I believe, was in an accident in a truck, and it left you with some head trauma residue, lasting effect from some head trauma. And Jesus is shifting that right now. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Let it be. Let it be done, Father, in Jesus' name. Wow. We can, as I said, we can give our attention and our thanksgiving without necessarily engaging our affection. We are meant to, but it's easy for something to get your attention. There's a lot of things vying for our attention in this world today. Is that true? But not all of them have our affection. Your boss is someone you give your attention to. The highway patrol on the freeway gets your attention. The IRS calling gets your attention. But those things don't normally have our affection. There's lots of things that get our attention, but God is after more than just our attention. You may genuinely be thankful for your boss and the fact that you have a job, but that's not the same as engaging your affection. You will obey direction from the highway patrol on the roads, but that's not the same as having deep affection. When the IRS calls, you pick up the phone, but it doesn't mean you're excited about the call. But God is not our boss, just our boss. He's a good father. He's not just a figure of authority. He calls us friends. And if God is a good father, and if he calls us friends, then we should always be excited when he calls. Thank you, Father. Come on, there is something fresh in the wind. There's something fresh in the wind. And he's inviting us to turn our attention, but more so our affection into the wind and to see what he does with that affection. Whew. So I'm going to dive into growing our affection. What if our prayer life was measured more by how much our affection was engaged rather than how many words were spoken? That's so good. We need to camp there for a minute. What if our prayer life was measured by the amount of affection engaged rather than the amount of words spoken? I tell you what would happen. Heaven would break out. If you want to see a good place of this modeled, we have pre-service prayer. We call it pre-service revival on Saturday evenings before service. Just come and jump in. And it's a room full of people. It's not as much. Yes, sometimes prayers are prayed and declarations are made sometimes, but more than that, it is a room full of people just engaging their affection to the Father. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I want to dive into the word a little bit. I want us to look at a scripture that we know super well in Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said, this is a lawyer. The scripture says a lawyer comes to him and tries to trick him and says, what is the most important of the commandments? And Jesus, this is the reply that Jesus gives to that. And Jesus says to him, Matthew 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Thank you, Jesus. And I want us to jump into this. How many people have heard this before? This is the greatest commandment. You've heard this before. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Yes, we want to love God with everything that we have to give. And God gets excited about those who get excited about him. That he engages on a deeper level those who learn how to engage him on a deep level. It's a rhythm of relationship. Listen, that we don't live in a society of arranged marriages, right? Where you meet your spouse at the altar on the wedding day. Anyone glad that's not the way it happens, right? Right. There is a process of deepening relationship that happens. Right, from both sides. I grow to trust you more and you trust me more and my love deepens for you and our interaction and connection deepens. Well, the Lord is the same way. Yes, he has torn the veil from top to bottom. He has torn the veil from top to bottom. He's made himself available. Listen, we're not waiting on God as much as he's waiting on us. He's made the invitation available, but when we put our hand into his hand, right? He makes the invitation available, but we need to respond. And when we put our hand in his hand, then he pulls us onto the dance floor. But the more we grow into trust, the more he can lead and the relationship deepens. It's a process of deepening intimacy. So yes, we are called to love the Lord our God with everything that we have. Our heart, our soul, and our mind. But I want to break this down a little bit further. To love. Strong's Concordance defines love this way. To love, wish well, take pleasure in, long for. Also denotes the love of reason and esteem. I want to break this down a little bit, and the part of reason and esteem, we're going to circle back to that, but let's look at the first part. To love, wish well, take pleasure in. A couple of specific things I want to highlight here, and the first is loving the Lord your God with everything that you have to give involves taking pleasure in. I think I need to say that again. I don't know if it really sunk in all the way. That we're called to love the Lord of God with everything that we have to offer, our mind, our heart, our strength. And loving him with everything involves taking pleasure in. That we need to learn to take pleasure in the Father. We need to learn to take pleasure in the Son. We need to learn to take pleasure in the moving of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to take pleasure in the smallest things. We're not to despise the day of small beginnings. Listen, we just had, I don't know how many people get baptized. We just showed videos of people not needing crutches anymore. And God's doing more stuff in the room. And two people can walk out of here, one and be like, that was the most amazing morning. Jesus showed up. And someone else can be like, yeah, it was all right. The question isn't if God's moving. The question is, how are we responding? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We need to learn. And listen, I say learn. This growth in relational equity, this process, we need to learn. This is the first key for refining our affection. Is we need to learn that we, one, have permission and two are actually called, commanded to take pleasure in the things of God. Oh, wow. Thank you, God, for all those people that got baptized this morning. Thank you for that young girl who gave her life to Jesus this morning. You're so amazing. Thank you for the miracles and the salvations that happened on outreach, God. You're so amazing. You're so good. Thank you, Father, for all the things that you're doing in our city through all the churches of the city. Thank you, Father. That invites, it draws the increase of heaven. I have a whole message on this. It's called Partnering with the Pleasure of the Father. You could get that message through Bethel online store. I don't know if we have any copies left in our bookstore. But basically, that God told me at one point, he said that the bride, too often when they read the word pleasure or please in the Bible as it refers to the Father, because it's in there a lot when you look it up, and this is not the message for the day, but you can get it if you want it. But we take the word pleasure and we translate it in ourselves as a peace. How many people know that the highest call of friends and sonship and as lovers of God is not to appease him, but to find pleasure in him? It changes everything. Let's take a praise break right there. Let's just give God, thank you, Father. We praise you. We need to learn to take pleasure in what we're giving affection to. Thank you, Father. Second, so one, to love God with all our heart, our mind, our strength. To love God in that way involves learning to take pleasure in. But the second I want to highlight is this definition for love involves a longing for. To take pleasure in and to long for. It's so much higher than just being an observer. There is a longing that when we turn our affections with a longing, oh God, you did it once, do it again. With an affectionate longing, God can't help but respond. It is the key to increase. God, give us a greater longing. Give us a deeper desire. And James 4:7-8, therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Here, that's the last part. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Listen, it sounds like maybe you're initiating the relationship, but you're not. Because he's already drawn near. He's already put his hand out. When you trust enough to draw near to the invitation, he draws even nearer. But it doesn't end there. Because there's always more. When you trust him more, your heart opens more. He draws even nearer. And then you trust him more, your heart opens more. He draws even nearer. Listen, there is a wind that is blowing. Someone feels it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's a longing and a taking pleasure in. There's another verse we know very well in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But seek first. That word first is chiefly or preeminence. To make these things the preeminent focus of our affection. Yeah. Seek doesn't just mean I go to another Bible study. Listen, we need to go to more Bible studies, but we need to learn, we need to glean from those things that refine and engage our affection. It doesn't, seek first doesn't just mean do more work. Make the things of the kingdom your chief and preeminent focus of your affection. And on that, you hear me? On that, all these other things will be added unto you. Psalms 37, 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and what? Feed on his faithfulness. It doesn't say just partake. It's not like it's not a soup line. Like you just stand in line with all the rest of the sheep and I get my daily dose, my portion for today. No, feed, feast on, ingest, take in, enjoy, take pleasure in, feast. Feast on his faithfulness. And verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Do you know that that word delight, there, it's a unique word because it literally means dainty or light. But in the context, it means something that is easily moved and moved with pleasure or enjoyment. I don't... Listen, a brick wall isn't affected by the breeze, but a sheet hanging in the wind. Take delight in the Lord doesn't look like brick walls. Well, I'm here. If God wants to move me, he'll do it. God's like, yep, I'll wait for you to go around that mountain again. I'm gonna touch this person over here who's learned how to become light in their affection and they're hanging out, they're leaning in to the breath of God and God's like, whoop, yeah, I'm moving there. Whew. I got those Holy Ghost bumps are back. Thank you, Jesus. Obedience to the Lord comes with promises, but delight in the Lord comes with the promise of receiving the desires of your heart. Thank you, Father. The last part I want to highlight in this is in the end of that definition where it says that this love, to love God, that we need to learn to take pleasure in what we're turning our affection to. We need to have a longing for what we're turning our affection to. But the last part of the definition says it denotes the love of reason and esteem. Now that sounds unique at first, but I want to break this down for you. Because Strong's goes further in defining reason and esteem here as discriminating affection which involves choice and selection. I think we need to hear that again. It defines it as discriminating affection, which involves choice and selection. This is not saying to love reason as though reason itself will avail you to some spiritual heights. No, instead it is saying to have discernment that allows you to discriminate or reject the things that try to steal your affection and do not line up with the affection of God. Whoa. Listen, we're called to have a discerning affection. We're called to have such a deep longing in our hearts that the other things that are vying for our affection, our discernment kicks in. Oh, that's trying to take me from the affection of God. Oh. Woo. Shut up, Bobby. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, trying to take me from the affection of God or defiling the affection that belongs to God. Whoa. Listen, I just told you as a team, God just moved. Listen, this is not the type of thing that you can work up regenerate in the flesh. We just gathered as a team and we were talking about that young lady with the crutches. And the love of God came in the room. But it was such a deep love that he was taking us deeper. He was cleaning out the pipes. He's making room for greater affection, greater connection. When our affections become defiled with things that don't line up with Jesus, when we try to turn our affection to him, we have little or nothing left. But when God clears out and cleans out our affections, when we turn our heart toward him, we will have undiluted connection in the abundance of affection. I'm going to say that one more time and we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. When God clears out and cleans out our affections, when at that point we turn our heart towards him, we will have undiluted and undefiled connection in the abundance of affection. Whoa, he's clearing out the pipes. But we don't need to be afraid of the clearing. He's clearing out the old to make room for the new. Listen, I've got good news for you. God's not afraid of your junk. If he saw you before he formed you, he saw all the messes that we've made along the ways. He sees all the places that our thoughts don't line up. He sees it all. And he's not afraid. He's not afraid. And listen, I tell you that the team here is not afraid. Listen, I'm telling you, we had deep repentance on Tuesday. It gets quiet every time I say that. They're like, oh, you people aren't perfect. No, listen. It goes really quiet every time I say it. Now listen, God's doing a deep work in us. And we are not afraid of your junk. But God is clearing out the pipes. He's clearing out the pipes. Because as he clears the pipes, more can flow. More of heaven, more grace, more revelation, more awe and wonder, more friendship, more connection, more freedom, more breakthroughs, more deliverance. Thank you, Father. I love the wind of your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Psalms 104 says, he rides on the wings of the wind. In John 20, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the breeze. You don't always know where it's come from or where it's going. But I tell you, he's raising up. He's tuning in a group of people. Listen, you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. What does that mean? You don't have to have all the answers. It means you don't have to have it figured out before you turn your affection to it. Listen, in the natural, I don't know how the breeze works. I can't make it happen. The wind, I don't. But I can enjoy it when it comes. Woo. Come on. Who wants to turn up the affection of their hearts? Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Come on. Can I have someone come up on the guitar, the keys? I don't need the whole team, Turning up the affection of our hearts, because when he breathes, how are we responding? I can feel it. Just put your hands out in front of you. Just start just to let his grace. The veil's already been torn. Thank you, Jesus. That our bodies are holy temples unto the Lord. That God, I feel God fine-tuning the affection of our heart. If you want God to fine-tune your affections. I just want to invite you to stand your feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray and we're going to release you to go. But I feel like there's some people that you know that God is calling you in this moment, that this message is for you, that this is the key that you've been waiting to hear, that your spirit inside is turning circles. And maybe you don't even understand all of the dynamics. You just know that your heart is alive with this message. And you're like, yes, God, I need the affections of my heart refined and fine-tuned so that when I point them towards you, we have undefiled connection. God, train my affections. Help me. Guide me. I just feel a great lifting. I feel a lifting of some burdens happening. But I feel a physical fine-tuning, like the sensitivity. And there's an invitation, the sensitivity of the Spirit, that you'll no longer just be able to pass by what God's doing without stopping and being gripped. That the smallest breath will catch your, not just your attention, but your affection. So we're going to pray. If that's you, if we're just going to have a moment just to let God just minister to you and dial you in, tune you up, mess you up, love on you, be tender and affectionate toward you. If that's you and you know that you need that moment with God, you're welcome just to come to the front. Everyone else, we're going to just pray and release you. Just to go with the fine-tuned affection of your heart into the week. Father, we just thank you for raising up a company of people that is not observers in the kingdom, but we're participants in your goodness because we know how to refine the affections of our heart, to take pleasure in your goodness and to long continually for the more of you, God. We know that you're not just the boss. You're also our friend and our lover. So, Father, I thank you for a grace for fine-tuning affections right now. And I don't know why I keep feeling it. But one more time, just put your hands out because I feel like, and listen, it's not about a physical experience at all. It's about a heart relationship, a heart posture. But I do feel God moving on people's hands as a sign of what he's doing in the heart. So Father, I thank you for the sensitivity increasing right now. Whew. In your presence and in your spirit and in your goodness and in your name. Whoa, and we thank you for that, Father. Yeah, and I think some of the people, as you come forward, even you're gonna feel cool, like water pouring over your head. I don't know why, God's showing me that right now in the spirit. Listen, God will refine your heart right now. And some of you need to let God clear out the pipes. That's okay. Just come forward and just tell him. Let him have it all right now so that he can do a new, fresh work in your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone who's in agreement with what God is doing in the moment says amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit BethelATX.com.